I want to take a look at three pieces of Chazal. Raise two questions on each piece. Then develop a yesod about Hanukkah. Understand the yesod and how it applies to Hanukkah and practically for our lives. And then see the same yesod from the individual perspective on the first level, and then from the national communal perspective on the second level. The first Gemara, Gemara in Shabbos, we're all familiar with, the Gemara says, "My Hanukkah." What is Hanukkah? And the Gemara tells us the story, how when the Greeks had entered the temple, they had defiled all the oils in the temple, and when the Jews came back, they found only a pach katan, a small cruse of oil, which was still intact, with the seal of the high priest, with the Kohen Gadol, knowing that it was tahor. And there was enough oil with it to light for one day, and they lit it for 8 days. The following year, they were koveya, they established these days for Hallel, for Thanksgiving to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the first two questions we have is question number one. In looking at the Gemara Mai Chanukah, we've seen clearly that the focus of the Gemara is the Pach Shemen, is the focus of the war, of the aspect of the oil. And yet, when we look at the Al HaNisim, we have no mention of the oil. The whole focus of the Al HaNisim is the war, the rabim b'ameatim, the many in the hands of the few. The whole focus is only at the end. You mention, and then they came to the Beis Hamikdash, the Liku Neiros v'Chatzron Kachach, and they lit the candles. But we don't even mention there was a miracle of the oil. So question one is, well, what's the focus of Hanukkah? Is it the Pach Shemen? Is it the oil? Or is it the Milchama? Is it the war? Question number two is, very famous question, the Beis Yosef, if indeed there was enough oil to last for one day, so then why do we have an 8-day holiday? It should be a 7-day holiday. The miracle only happened 7 days. The first day there was enough oil to light. Second Gemara. Also Gemara in Shabbos, which talks about Tanu Rabbanu and how do we light. So the Gemara says that the mitzvah is Ner Yishuveso, every individual light. And then you have a Mahadrin, Ner L'chol Echa V'Echad, V'Mahadrin Min Mahadrin Machok, and Beishama and Beishilo, Beishama holds the first night 8, and the last night 1, and Beishilo holds, like we do, first night 1, and you ascend in order to 8. Third question. Where else in Yiddishkeit do you have this concept, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin? Either you do it, you have a Hiker Mitzvah, you have a beautifying the Mitzvah, but you have, like, you know, the first day of Sukkot, you take one Esrog. And the second day, you take two Esrog. I mean, all right, obviously, there's a technical problem. You'd be juggling 8 Esrog, you'd be like, you know, have to, like, really practice for that one. But aside from the technical aspects, we don't have a concept elsewhere in Yiddishkeit of Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin. Why is this unique for Hanukkah? Our fourth question is, what's the philosophical difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, 8-1 or 1-8? Our final Gemara is the Gemara Megillah, less well known. The Gemara says, "Am Natzeach al Ayelet HaShachar," talking about the mizmor that the Ayelet HaShachar, the morning star sun. So Chazal tell us, who is this Ayelet HaShachar? That's Esther Amalka. Why is she called Ayelet HaShachar? So says the Gemara, just like the morning star ends the evening period, so to Esther, so kol anisim, Esther, the end of the miracles. So ask the Gemara, v'hayika Chanukah, what about Chanukah? So the Gemara answers, nichtav, nitna lichtov kamrinan. Chanukah is not written down. Esther is the last written down miracle. Again, two questions. Question one, what is the difference does it make whether Chanukah is written down or not written down? Esther doesn't end the miracles. Chanukah is certainly a miracle. And a final and sixth question is, why are we comparing Esther to the morning star that she ends the period of open miracles? Because if you say that, then Esther is compared to nighttime. And nighttime is the open miracles. That's counterintuitive. I would have thought that Esther should be sunset, that she ends this major miraculous period that would be compared to daytime, and Esther ends that, and she's sunset. Why is Esther the morning star ending the period of miracles and attributing the miracles to nighttime? So let's just review our six questions and then we can begin. Question number one is, what's the focus of Hanukkah? Is it the oil or is it the war? Question number two is, why do I have an 8-day holiday if the miracle only happens 7 days? Question number three is, why is Hanukkah unique in Mahadri, Mahadri, Min Mahadri? Question number four is, what's the philosophical difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Question number five is, why is Hanukkah not considered part of the miracles, so it's not written down, so it's still a miracle? And question number six is, why is Esther compared to the morning star and not to sunset, that all the miracles are compared to the nighttime period and not the daytime period? Those are our six questions. Now we can begin, my friends, with the Yesod of Hanukkah, and then we'll develop it. It's a beautiful piece of Mishnah of Aaron Rav Aaron Cutler. He says in Chelek Gimel the following, that of all the Jewish holidays, and we normally don't look at it this way, Hanukkah is unique in that Hanukkah is mu'ad l'ruchniyot, is specific, unique for ruchniyot. We don't have anything really physical in the holiday. You have the lighting of the candles, which is also very ruchni, as we'll speak about, very spiritual. And you have the aspect of Hanukkah being special for Hallel and Hodaya, for giving thanks to God. And continues the Mishnah Rav Aaron, what does it mean, Hallel and Hodaya? It means to be grateful that everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, delayed lay negarmi leklum, that nothing belongs to us. We recognize hishtabdut muchlet that lo, a complete submission to God, and that we have shum tviyala baris baruch, we have no complaints against God. But rather we understand that everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does is a chesed gadol to us. But you know what, my friends? Let's try to understand this aspect of Hallel and Hodaya a little bit deeper. Hanukkah, which is a time to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just a time to say thanks God for everything you've done for me. You know, nice house, nice family, nice school, nice life, thanks God. It's much deeper than that. We know that Chazal tell us that the first person to say thank you to Hashem was Leah Menu, right? When she names her fourth son Yehuda, she says, "Papa Mozet Hashem." Now I'll give thanks to God. So as Rabbi Weinberg, the Talmud Rebbe, a very, very, very basic question. It's a question that Chazal asks: why is it that Leah only says thanks after son number four? Should she not have said thanks over what son number one? You know, so Chazal, Mefarshim bring down a very famous answer that each one of the Imals knew that each of them were going to have three children, right? Four wives, 12 sons. 4 divided by 12 is 3. When she had the fourth and more than her chelek, now she gives thanks, she is above and beyond. But the Talmud Rebbe has a much deeper pshat on this, a much different pshat. And it says the following. When Leah names her first three children, she names them in a lot of anguish. God heard my suffering. God sees my suffering. Now maybe my husband will be joined to me by laving. When she has this fourth child, he says, she understands that the gift of the fourth child is being given to her because she has struggled and because she's in pain. And she's still in pain, and her pain hasn't left her. But she has an appreciation and awareness that sometimes the pain itself is part of the process. The apamodet Hashem, the hodayah, is not only on salvation. Sometimes it also has to be on the pain itself, on the struggles in life, which we understand are tailor-made for us to be the best us we can be. The pasuk in Yeshaya, Odcha Hashem ki anasta bi, I thank God even though he's afflicted me. It's David HaMelech who's singing a mizmor when he's running away, Mipnei Avshalom Beno. That model is the model of Hanukkah. And my friends, that's Pshat and the Alanisim, if we've ever paid attention to what we say. We say, Alanisim v'alapurka v'alzuros v'alchuos v'al hanochamos. Which one doesn't belong in that list? We have Nisim, the miracles, the purkan, the salvation, the chuos, the salvation, the gvuros, the strength, and the mechamos, and the wars. Which one doesn't belong? Mechamos. And in fact, there are some girsos, there are some mefarshim who explain that you read it, ve'al ha-gvuros, ve'al ha-chuos, not ve'al ha-milchamot, and on the wars, but you read it, al ha-milchamot. You read it, ve'al ha-chuos, al ha-milchamot, on the salvation for the war. Because how could you be thanking God for a war? So therefore, ve'al ha-chuos, al ha-milchamot. It's for the chuos, it's for the salvation, al ha-milchamot, for the war. So he says, no, the Talmud Rebbe, it's gewaltig. It's for Ela Tshuos and V'Ela Milchamot. It's not only for salvation, it's also for what are we thanking, Kodesh Baruch Hu? For the Milchamot themselves. Because life is not always the Hollywood model where everything's going to be happily ever after. And you'll drive off in that, you know, whatever car, you know, down Rainbow Lane in the sunset with a pot of gold at the end. That's not Judaism. That's not life. And if you think that's life, so I have news for you, my friends, you're going to be very, very, very hurt in life. But if you're prepared that life is about, the life is about salvations and life is about struggling, and the struggles themselves are what make us who we are and form the character of who we are. So then there's halo and hodaya, there's ability to give thanks to Hashem for the chuos and the mechamos, for that aspect of the struggling as well. Chanukah being halo and hodaya, Chanukah being a time of gratitude, is gratitude for the entirety of the system, the complexity of life that allows us to become the best us we can be. Now, having said this, let's get back to our original question. When we said Mai Chanukah, so Rashi explains on the Gemara Mai Chanukah the following: Al Eze Neis Kavuha. On what miracle are they establishing Chanukah? That's what Mai Chanukah means. Mai Chanukah means that Chazal had in front of them two major options. Do we make the holiday of Halon Hodaya for the war, or do we make it for the oil? And Chazal understood in their wisdom that if you make it only for the war, people will say, no, no big deal. Military brilliance, strategic planning, kochav etzim yadi, look how strong we are. If we're trying to create something that's going to be a wow thousands of years later, that I'm going to be moved and inspired to a halo and odaya, I need something mamish incredible. And therefore, Mai Chanukah means, Al Eze Neis Kavuha means, what was a major miracle that's going to inspire people thousands of years later to feel this miracle? And of the two, they chose the Neis Pach Shemen, the oil. You know, it's going to sound like a simplistic example, but it's the best I'm going to do. I'm sure many of you have been to an IMAX theater, yeah? Where you put on these 3D glasses. You know what I'm saying there? So I had an experience many years ago in the Science Museum in L.A. where my husband and I walked into the IMAX theater and one of us dropped our glasses walking in. So by the time we sat down, we had one glasses for two people. And I'll tell you, everything that happens obviously is from above. It was one of the most profound philosophical experiences for me. And I'll explain to you why. It was down in the deep. You know one of these things about the fish in the sea and all the plants that live there? So you put on these three glasses, and what do you see? Wow, my Rabbi Masech Hashem, it's gebaldi. It's fish, it's plants, it's incredible. And then, you know, you got to share the glasses. So you take them off and you give it to the next person. And what do you see now? A blurry screen. It's just there. It's gone. Okay, you put back the glasses. Incredible. Take them. That's life. The scene has been shifted. What shifted is my ability to perceive. All year round, we walk around with one-dimensional glasses. We don't see a spiritual reality. Like, if somebody were to say to me, can I borrow a pen? Here, take a pen. That's one-dimensional glasses. But if I understood from a third, three-dimensional perspective that those, that chesed was creating malachim and shamayim, it's not, oh, here's a pen. Wow, I'd love to give you a pen. And the malachim and the shmir is incredible. And that is what we're talking about in creating this incredible experience. This incredible experience of spirituality, of being able to perceive it. All year round, we wear, it's a challenge to wear a 3D lens, but we wear a one-dimensional lens. Chanukah is the time when it's a holiday where you need to put on a different perspective. And that perspective is to look at life and realize that there's nothing called Teva. There's nothing called nature. That everything is Nisei Hashem, it's a miracle. But when the Gemara says, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? The Gemara is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to put on 3D lens to appreciate that oil can last for 8 days. Because everything is a miracle of God. Once you've put on those 3D lenses, now you can look back at the Alanisim and talk about the war from that perspective. And you appreciate the war is clearly coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and not strategic and military brilliance. And this is how the Yaakov Lechel Tov in source number 14 explains our second question of why do we have an 8-day holiday if there's enough oil to last one day. But now, my friends, we have such a deeper understanding of it, because now we understand that the whole question and the premise of the question is incorrect. On a one-dimensional lens, I say I have enough oil to last one day. How come I have an 8-day holiday? When I put on 3D lenses, I suddenly see that, hello! Who says that oil should even last one day? If I understand the correct perspective that everything is a miracle from God, so oil lasting even 5 minutes is a miracle from God. And hence, why do I have an 8-day holiday if there's enough oil to last one day? Who says that oil should last one day? But when I celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, it's reminding me that this is the perspective of life. Not to take anything for granted. And that's in fact from a Dayak in 15 in the Lashon of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that Tzaricha Adam Lizaher Ba Persesi, very careful, Kedei Lahodiyah HaNeis, to publicize the miracle. And here the Rambam writes, Kedei Lahodiyah HaNeis, singular, the miracle. And then the Rambam goes on, V'lohosi, V'shevach HaKel V'odayelo Ala Nisim Shasalanu. And then I increase my Shevach and Hodayah, I increase my gratitude, al hanisim, plural, the miracles that God has done for me. Hanukkah is putting on 3D lenses to appreciate, don't take life for granted. The Neis Pach Shemen is just an impetus to look at life from a deeper vantage point, to appreciate, to be more insightful. And as the Sifkei Chaim notes, when the Rambam writes Al HaNisim Shasalanu, it doesn't say the Nisim of the Mechama. It's Nisim in general. Because not only Nisim, the miracles that are connected to the war, it's the miracles that are connected to what? To ourselves, our lives. And now we can understand on a much deeper level the Hanero Salalu in 17. When we speak about these lights that we light, and in all 8 days these Neros are Kodesh Heim, they're holy. We're not allowed to use them, Elulur Osan Bilbad, to just to see them. But here's the key word in the Alanisi, in Hanero Salalu. Why are we lighting these candles? It's Kidei Lahodosu Lahalo. It's in order to do what? To say thank you. To light the candles, but not to say the thank you. To light the candles, but not to put on the glasses, we've missed the boat. There's a great mashal, the Rav Simcha Zussel of Kelm, 22 through 24 gives, and I'll just give it a modern day example of this. I just happened to be in the States, just got back last week. I was there for 2 weeks. One of the places that I went to was L.A., so a friend of mine emailed me before I went to L.A. saying, you know, Shira, if you're coming, would you mind bringing me parchment paper? You know those, the paper that you bake on? She said, my brownies come out better if they're baked on Eretz Yisrael paper. Now, no one can disagree with that. Everything connected to Eretz Yisrael comes out better. So I said, sure. So now imagine the following conversation. Went to her on a Sunday afternoon. She would say to me, Shira, did you get the email? Yeah. Great. You read the email? Yeah. Great. So where's the stuff? The stuff? Yeah, the email. Yeah. You ready? Yeah. So where's the stuff? Oh, you wanted me to bring the stuff. I thought you wanted me to read the email. I read it. It was a brilliant email. She would say, get with it. Like, you missed the boat.
Sefer Simchas is called Kel. That's us.
You're reading Haneir Salalu Kedei Lahodo Salahala. Kedei Lahodo Salahala means deliver the stuff. It means be filled with Shevach and Hodaya to Barei Olam. You're going to read it and not be filled with gratitude. You're going to read it and not express thanks to God. It's like reading an email and not delivering the goods. That's what it means. Kedei Lahodo Salahala. And the end line of our Simcha Bissel 24. Oy Vavoy Ladam. Woe to the person who's acting like a monkey. You know that book, Caps for Sale? Tiff, tiff, tiff. That's what we're like. Haneir Salalo, Haneir Salalo. Where is the Hodo Salalo? Where's the gratitude? Let's take this much deeper, my friends. And this is what I really like to share with you today, and this is my gift. There's something very special about the candles that enables us to be filled with lahodos ulahalo, to be filled with gratitude toward God. If we move to the back page for one moment, let's learn together some Hasidic ideas, some in front of us, some I'll add, on Hanukkah. There's an interesting Or Gedayahu. Quoting the Malvim, who quotes the Zohar Kadosh, that you find in source 1 and all Sheishim Ebreit sheet, Matsinu Delokti Vahi Kain by Bria Sa'or. If you look at the creation story, you'll find that at every day of creation it says Vahi Kain and it was so. Something was created Vahi Kain and it was so. The exception is by the light. By the light, it doesn't say Vayhi Chayin and it was so, because it wasn't so. What happened to the original light? We know Shira'ah She'ein Ha'olam Kedai Lo Begun Zol L'Sadikin Lasi Lava. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that this light was going to be abused by the Rishayim, by the wicked people. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He was Nignaz it. He concealed it for the righteous in the future. And therefore, it doesn't say Vayhi Chayin and it was so, because it was changed. Continues the Malvin, by the hadlaka of the menorah of Aaron a Kohen in Parshas Balotcha, it says Vayas Kain Aaron. The missing Vayhi Chayin in the creation is brought back by the Vayas Kain Aaron, because when Aaron lit the menorah, he lit the menorah from this Or Haganuz, from this concealed light. It says if HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this light and put it in a treasure house, but said this light is so powerful, I want glimmers of this light to be found in the world. I want some people to be able to benefit from this light. And therefore, the menorah's light, which was Eidus L'Chobayil Olam, Sheshchina Shor B'Yisrael, it was a testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is in Klal Yisrael, in the Beit HaMikdash. It was because of the power of this Or HaGadol. This original light is found and the Lakas Menorah. Now, work with me here. We know the famous Ramban, Shachar Kayem Elolam, that yours is forever. And therefore, my friends, first you bring down that our menorahs that we light are a hemshech, are a continuation. This is a Balamor, is a continuation of the lighting in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, my friends, when we light, we're lighting, and our homes become a mini Bate Mikdash. And we become Kohanim. And the lights that we light are from this Or HaGadol. Haneir Salalu Kodesham, they have Hekdesh. They're the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. But it's much deeper than that. Work with me. Adam HaRishon was able to benefit from this light 12 hours on Friday, from the time the world was created, noonday, Erev Shabbos, 24 hours on Shabbos, that's Borei Morei HaEish, after Shabbos, 36 hours, 12, 24, 36 hours, Adam HaRishon had this light. Says the Baal HaRokeach in C, that is why we light all together, not including the Shamish, we light 36 candles. Each candle that we light parallels one of those hours of the Or HaGadol. This light, which is described by Chazal as Adam HaRishon being able to see from one end of the world
to the other.
It's the light of clarity. It's the light, like, you know what you're doing here in this world. It's the same lashon the Gemara Nida uses by the light over a child's head in its mother's womb. Where it also has that clarity vision. Like there was one point in our lives we knew what we were doing here. Hanukkah is a glimpse into that light. And that's why the B'nai Sefer tells us that the month where Hanukkah is predominantly found is a month called Kislev. Kislev is made up of two words. Kes, Lamed Vav. The Kisui, the concealed 36, Lamed Vav, candles. The 36 hours are revealed in this month. That's the power of the Or HaGanos. The power of clarity. But you will also know, my friends, it's worth down the Sefer Sichot Yitzchakot, that there are 36 tzaddikim that are found in this world, 36 hidden tzaddikim, and we know there's an idea that every person is an olam mali. We are all an entire world, right? If you save one person, it's as if you saved a whole world. So which means, do the math with me, that if there are 36 tzaddikim, hidden tzaddikim in this world, and each and every one of us is a world, so therefore that means that each and every one of us has within us 36 hidden tzaddikim, which is translated as 36 hidden kochos hanefesh, 36 hidden points of potential to develop. What is the Chanukah menorah about? As the Nesiva Shalom points out in source number 2, fifth line down, V'inyan l'r'osam hu, what does it mean to see them? El l'r'osam bilvah, just to look at the candles. L'si sha'or hazeh haratohu b'neshama, sh'me'ir and nishmas Yehudi be'or alukud. It's a light that lights up our neshamas, that gives us clarity of vision. It's this powerful light. And I want you to know, my friends, it's brought down in the fifth Sfarim, that when we light candles, we're not alone. There's a very famous pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Vav, pasuk Beis. Srafim omdim mimalo. The angels are standing mimalo above him. Low again, 36. The Srafim, the angels come and stand over us when we light. But it's much more than this. Follow with me, my friends. It is very deep. It's worth out in the story. But do you know who else joins you when you light candles? All of the neshamas of your grandparents, great-grandparents, Ad Adam Arishon, and all of the neshamas of your children, children's children, Ad Bias Goa. Everyone's there. It's like by a chuppah. All these neshamas are there. There are certain times in your life that it's a very crowded moment, spiritually. You know what this means practically, my friends? I'll tell you exactly what it means. You know, my students who think in two colors, black and white, ask me practically, what should we be thinking about when we light candles? So I tell them one word. Think about one word. You know what that word is? Nothing. Think about absolutely nothing. Because when you think about absolutely nothing, what are you thinking about? Everything. Everything. Everything comes up. It's an incredible time of meditation, of Yisparadus. If we're speaking about Lahalo, Lahodos, Alatsuafo, Nochamo, if we're speaking about looking at our lives and realizing the struggles and the salvations are part and parcel of who I am, and I'm being mayor Nishmaso Shalodom, and I'm looking at Kiner Lokim Nishmasodom, I'm looking at my soul, I'm reflecting. The Hanukkah candles are a time of reflection on who I am. Who I am means that I am part of history from Adam HaRishon, that Midor Dor, from generation to generation, I'm carrying the torch. Am I taking my responsibility? Am I standing up for who I should be? And I also have to pass this torch down, Midor Dor, for future generation. Am I passing this torch down appropriately? What are those 36 kochos on nefesh I have within myself? Do I walk around life apathetic, oh, whatever comes to me, comes to me? Or am I ready to search and think and introspect? Because those lights are the lights of the Or HaGadol. It's a light of clarity. It's a gift. It's a gift. In my mind, there are a number, but one of the saddest spiritual moments in the Jewish calendar year are people who light Hanukkah candles and then leave. Can you imagine leaving those candles? Can you imagine leaving the point of inspiration, of direction, of meditation, of the Or Pnei Melech Chayim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, the Seraphim are standing there, you as a Kohen lighting the Kedusha of the Or HaGadol in your menorah? Good night. See you later. Tomorrow night. Oy vavoy. To one who does a masa kof ba'alma. There's an Indian of women not doing malacha for the first half hour. Or the eighth night, says Beit Shammai, you look at your watch. A half hour, that is so long. And Beit Hillel, who says, this is what we need to aspire to, is I'm just getting started the first night. I'm beginning with my halal and hodaya. I'm beginning with my introspection. By the eighth night, Beit Hillel is challenging us, you're not going to want to leave until that last candle flickers out. And then you're going to leave with sadness. And that special gift that was found in our midst has been taken away until next year, Meretz Hashem. My friends, if we summarize the first level, and then we'll briefly do the second. My Chanukah, what is the focus of Chanukah? The focus of Chanukah is the nes of the oil, because that allows me to put on the 3D glasses to be able to see that there's nothing as natural in the world. Everything's a miracle from God. And then I can say the El Nisim with that perspective. Obviously, I light the candle the first day because that too is a miracle, no less than it lighting 7 extra days. Everything that God does is a miracle. That's the whole union of life. And I recognize that when I light the candles, I'm focused on the halalah, just thanking God for everything. I'm putting my life into perspective. I'm giving myself insight and direction of who I am and where I'm going. I'm able to find those 36 kochos and nefesh, those 36 deeper parts of myself that allow me to be me, to continue the torch from the past, to be able to give it down to the future. Beit Shammai says, it's hard to maintain that level of passion, and Beit Hillel says, force yourself to reach this level. Force yourself to become filled increasingly every night with introspection and with l'halo l'hodos. Briefly, my friends, let's look on source 28 on the national level. There's a very interesting Malbim in Daniel that says, the Kvar Hishbarer, I've already explained, Shishibat Bayit Sheni Lo Nechshav L'Gula HaMiyuedet, that the return in the Second Temple period is not part of the ultimate Geula. The Golos, the exile, has started at the times of Nebuchadnezzar, and will end when the final redemption. And the Shivat Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, with the Beis HaMikdash, will still Golos. Hence we call it Golos Yava, the exile of Yava. And here the Sifte Chaim develops a very interesting concept. He says, if this begins, really, the major aspect of this long 2,000-year Golos, then the Chanukah story, which is one of the first major episodes in our walking through this exile, becomes the paradigm of Jewish history. Jews fall away from God. God comes down with a punishment. Jews come back with Mesiras Nefesh to God. God saves us. Why can't Chanukah be written down? Question number 5. Because Chanukah is not a one-time aspect. Chanukah continually, perpetually happens. Something written down means it was. Goodbye. Finished. No, Chanukah is not finished. Chanukah's happened. Tach v'tah, Spanish Inquisition. Chanukah is a consistent aspect of Jewish history. And it's the miracle of Jewish survival. That's what we're celebrating. The Hala Ulahotos on the universal national level is thanking God that the Klal Yisrael are still here. And with this, we can appreciate the end of 31 and 32, the Chosid Yaivitz, who explains that when I look at all of this aspect called Jewish survival, Jewish history, in my mind, this was a greater miracle than all the open miracles that Hashem has done. Question 6. All the open miracles are darkness, are nighttime. Esther's the morning star and ends all of this. Even though we're in Hester Panim, we're in physical darkness, it's compared to daytime, because there's nothing greater than Jewish survival. There's nothing greater than the fact that all the other nations have disappeared except us. This is a famous piece in Paul Johnson's book 39, which was a joy. I'm sure you've read this book, History of the Jews. The right-hand paragraph, that Jews should over the millennia attract such unparalleled, indeed inexplicable hatred would be regrettable, but only to be expected. Above all, that the Jews should still survive when all those other ancient people were transmuted or vanished into the opulence of history was wholly predictable. How could it be otherwise? Providence decreed it, and the Jews obeyed. It's no. Goyim, Jews, we're around. It's a miracle. And this is the machlokah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, yeah, but look at us. At the time of Bayi Sheni, we were an eight. We were so connected to God. And now, the assimilation rate is incredible. We're a one. And Beis Hillel counters and says, you know, to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu at the time of Bayi Sheni, that's what we call a no-brainer. Obviously, we're connected. But to be connected 2,000 years later, after everything we've gone through, you would ask somebody in Auschwitz 60 years ago, would you believe the resurgence of the learning of the yeshivas, of the Beis Yaakovs, of all the schools of Orthodoxy today? They would say, what? Impossible. You're dreaming. Judaism is literally up in smokes. We're an eight. It's an eight. Look around you, Eretz Yisrael today. It's an eight. It's incredible. It's Nisim v'Nislos. You look around at how the Beheshiv Levavos Abanim, how children are bringing back their parents. You know, I'll tell you a story that a girl, Daf Tevina, just related to me a few weeks ago. I found it such a touching story. She told me about her grandparents who were agnostics. Like, Beshita don't believe in God. And part of their will, they're in their 80s, they asked to be cremated. So she has a brother who's also learning in yeshiva, and her brother asked his rabbis, is this such a good idea to be cremated? And the rabbis responded, no, not such a Jewish idea. So the brother turns to this girl and says, you're closer to the grandparents, you convince them. She's like, gee, thanks, I love you too. Like, you know, how are you going to convince people who are Beshita, don't believe in God? Right? Religion isn't part of their mindset. Don't be cremated. She wrote a Gevaldic email to them. The girls had just finished going on one of these, I call them kever hopping tulim. You know, you go from kever to kever to daven at different grave sites. You know, it's like the story of a boy who first time in Israel, and his father takes him to kever Rachel, Mar Samach Pela, and this kever and that kever. And the little boy turns to his father and says, Abba, are there any live people in Israel? You know, like all we're seeing are graves. So she writes to her grandparents, you know, I had the opportunity of visiting very righteous people's graves and learning about them and davening at their graveside. And I found it a very, very spiritual, meaningful experience. And she continued in this email, she said, one day I would like to invite and bring my children and my grandchildren to your graveside to talk about you and to daven at your where you're buried. So I'm asking you not to be cremated, but that there should be a makom krura, a place to be buried, that I can daven there. And you know what? What do you think? Is she successful? Yeah. She was successful. She changed them. That's a miracle to a survival. That's what's going on. The chayenu anu. Two more ideas, my friends, and we'll close. this gives us a little bit of a deeper insight, again, that back page, to the beautiful Minhag Yisrael, and everything is kadosh of the dreidel. The dreidel. So we know, my friends, if Chanukah is about the Pach Shemen, the spiritual victory of the Jews, that we have been able to survive through all these exiles. So let's take a look at a Golos dreidel. Not a Eretz Yisrael dreidel, a Golos dreidel. And see how the dreidel reflects this idea of Jewish survival. It's an idea, it's brought down 3 through 6 in the B'nai Yisavcha. Rabbi Mum quotes or alludes to it. We know that in Parshas Vayigash, when Yaakov is going down to meet Joseph in Egypt, and we know that Egypt is a paradigm of all the Golios, of all of the exile experiences, Vayhi, Bayamim, Harabim, Ahem, Rabim, Romi, Babel, Yavan, Madai, it encompasses the entire exile experience. And that if we're able to get out of Egypt, ultimately we'll be able to be redeemed from all the exiles. So therefore, when Yaakov Avinu is sending Yehuda Lahoro, the son of Goshna, down to Goshen to meet Joseph at Tzadik, it's not just setting a base medrash there, it's setting up future redemption. Yosef represents Mashiach ben Yosef. Yehuda represents Mashiach ben David from Shevet Yehuda. The two of them meet together in Goshna in order to set up this potential of Lahoro Lefanav of redemption. And what is Goshna? So Goshna, we know, are the same letters as the dreidel. We know that Gimel Nun Shin Hei also represent the different aspects within a person. The Gimel is the guf, the body of a person. The Shin is the seichel, the intellect. The Nun is the nefesh of a person, the emotional part. And the Hay represents Hakol, the totality. Each one of the nations that came to subjugate the Jews, each of the four nations dominated one of these aspects. Babel dominated our nefesh. Nefesh ki takriv mekem korban. When a soul would bring a korban to God, a sacrifice to God, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed that emotional connection that we had with God. Clearly, the guf is lahashmi la'arog la'abed, is clearly parasumadai, it's a Purim story to destroy us physically. Yavon is the sechel, hechshichu, what they name Shah Yisrael, to blind our eyes. Right? Become Hellenists. And Hakol is Edom. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, or Nefesh. They destroyed us physically as well as spiritually. Ad Hayom HaZeh. Explains the B'nai Yisassar, God who's spinning the dreidel from above. The dreidel spins on that one point on the bottom, the Kutzo Shoyud. And what that represents, the Achdus, the point of unity, the point of belief in God. Life, Jewish history has been that we fall on different sides. Sometimes the guf is being destroyed, sometimes the nefesh, sometimes all of it, sometimes our seichel. We go through different tkufos, different periods of history. But you want to know what the model and vision of Chanukah is? It's a dreidel that spins but never stops. Where all the nations will believe in the oneness of God. Where all the nations will be able to have that vision of Svanya, that they'll all call out, the Safa Barura, with one language, with clarity, the Krok Kulam B'Shem Hashem, to call all in the name of God. That's the imagery of a dreidel, the dreidel representing our hope, of a dreidel that spins but never stops. My friends, on this level, just summarizing, we'll add one last point. We're not only lahalo lahodos for the salvations that God has done for us individually, but Chanukah and the great Hasidic masters were able to see the entire Jewish history looking at the candles. It's thanking God for Jewish survival, and that's why if Chanukah's not written down, because it happens over and over again, it's the paradigm of Jewish history. And this Jewish survival, compared to all the open miracles, it considered daytime, and hence Esther ends the period of open miracles, nighttime, and she's the morning star. And now we're in the tkufa of the daytime period, which is, although Hester upon him, although concealment, tremendous revelation of the hand of God. Beis Shammai says, yeah, but look where we're at. And Beis Hillel says, yeah, but look at where we're at.
And that's the difference between 8 to 1 and 1 to 8. My friends, we've answered all the questions except one, and that is Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Min, and Mahadrin. Let's take a look at Source 41. We'll end with this. The Orgad Ayahu notes the Gemara in Shabbos that says the following, B'yom Rishon HaRoa Mevarech Shtayim U'B'Shar Yomi Mevarech Echa. Let's say Lu Yitzuyar, a person doesn't have a house, right? And there's no one lighting for him. So if he's walking down the street on the first day of Hanukkah and he's haroeh, he sees the candles, he says two brachos. What two brachos does he say? He says shasim yusim, and he says shachianim. He doesn't say lahadik ner to light because he didn't light. So asa shasam is a very basic question. Why is the Gemara predicating saying shachianu on haroeh if you see the candle? I would have thought that as soon as Hanukkah comes, you know, shkia, tzeifa kochavi, it's sunset, it's the stars are coming out, I should say shechianu, it's like any other holiday. So the Sasemes says the following, based on the Chidushei Arim. Ki hayamim de Hanukkah einam kedoshim ba'atzmutam. Hanukkah, the days themselves, don't have intrinsic holiness. The rak bisarurus nefesh Yisrael, yidei haneiros yacholu l'kadesh hayamim she'arevahem haro mishamayim. It's only through the awakening of Klal Yisrael, through seeing those candles, through seeing that Or HaGadol, through seeing that powerful spiritual light, through Pnei Melech Chayim, the godly light, the light of our souls, are we able to be successful in tapping into the Kedusha, the holiness, the Ha'ara, the intensity of the day. I think mashmami this, and that's why you have to see the candles to say Shachianu. The candles inspire the day. I think you're saying this is the following idea. On a national level, one who's Rahman Lutzlan been through a Shoah, been through Russian refused it, been through a historical, Jewish historical aspect, will light Hanukkah candles differently than someone who hasn't. And I would even add that this latest wave of Aliyah, I remember coming on Nefesh B'Nefesh three summers ago. We were one plane that summer, right? There's one coming in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. They're hoping this year to bring in 10 plane loads of Olim. So thousands of Olim. Someone who decides to join the stage and not sit in the bleacher seats of the grand finale of Jewish history, which we're in that tekufa right now, but to be really part of it on center stage, is going to light Hanukkah candles differently. And likewise on the individual level. You know, it's those bar mitzvah speeches where the kid gets up at the end of the speech and says the following. I'd like to thank my Abba and Ima and my little brother Yankee. Like, I'm not impressed. You want to say thank you, what do? Put the sheet down and speak from where? The heart. Abba, Ima, thank you so much. Yankee, you're such a good brother. Lahalo Lahodos isn't reading Haneiros Halalu. Kidei Lahodos, that's how it's about. Hanukkah is a very personal holiday. It's about appreciating everything that Hashem does for us. The tshuos and the mochamos. The salvations and the struggles. It's about appreciating life. It's about gaining perspective in life. It's about putting on the 3D lenses not to take anything for granted that happens in my life. And each and every one of us, where we stand in life, and because and based on, and it changes and it's in flux, our life situations, we stand in front of those Hanukkah candles. We say hallow with lahalo ulahodos on different levels. Mahadrin, mahadrin, mina, mahadrin. Because lahalo lahodos is not one script. It's very personal. And each and every one of us is challenged to make it as mahadrin, min a mahadrin as it can be. That's how we pass it. Try to do the best way you can. And when you're filled with lahalo lahodos, challenge yourself to do it the best way you can. My friends, I leave us all with a bracha that as we light Hanukkah candles this year in Amir Toshem for many years to come, feel the srafim om dimi ma'alo, feel the intensity of the experience as you stand as part of a larger chain of Jewish history with literally the torch in your hand, and you're able to use that light to be able to discover the 36 kochos ha-nefesh that are found within you. And you'll be able to develop yourself to the best and to the fullest of your potential. that not only are you going to be able to change yourself, to change the world around you, but to change Dorei Doros after you. And that you should be matzliach in being filled with lahalo lahodos, appreciating all the different aspects that Hashem gives you to make you the best you can be.